A Norwegian whaling ship prepares for the hunt beyond the island of Varda off the northeast tip of Norway.
Dinghy rail just off the starboard bow!
It's a beaut! Stand ready, Gunner!
Standing by, sir! He is almost in range, just a bit closer.
We have got three ships approaching fast!
Who is it?
Look at the black flags with the skull and crossbones.
Tobias, it is those sea watchdogs.
The whale is in range. Should we deploy the harpoon gun?
Not now. First, we must contend with a more imminent danger.
Here they come.
Come about.
This is the end of Will, and we are here to stop your cruelty to these beautiful beasts.
Ludwig, we are under attack. Let's ready the ship's horses.
Oh, what's that sound?
It is a noise weapon. It's designed to cause confusion.
They have us surrounded.
Spray them with powerful blasts of water.
They are shooting strange lasers at us.
Do not look. It will cause temporary blindness.
Look on the port side.
They are going to ram us. Everyone secure your position. Is everyone okay?
Yeah.
Now the London containers of butyric acid! Ah, what a horrible smell! They will stop at nothing until we are completely disabled!
Why have the sea watchdogs launched such a violent attack against the whaling ship? Will they survive? To find out, join the adventure in Jonathan Park and the Recesses of the Deep. A few days earlier, Jonathan, Katie, and Jesse were late joining the rest of the Creation Response team as they prepare to leave their headquarters at the Brennan Museum of Creation.
We're glad you're here today. Have you checked out?
Okay, kids, you better get going. The rest of the team's already waiting out in the van.
Goodbye, Grandpa. We'll miss you.
Well, thanks, but you'll hardly have time but once you're back and aboard the Manta.
Isn't it amazing Mr. DeMarcus invited us back? He's really committed to finding new varieties of fish so we can give glory to our Creator.
And as you know, Aunt Erica will be at home most of the time watching Summer Melody and Joseph Caleb. Well, Grandpa, remember that we'll have sporadic communications while we're on board.
Which reminds me, I've instructed Eddie, Thad, Timmy, and Mike to oversee media relations while we're out at sea.
Well, hopefully we'll be uploading pictures of all kinds of amazing new animals, as well as a daily log of our expedition, so Eddie can keep the blog current.
Okay, we better go.
Bye!
Bye.
Ah, back under the silence of the sea.
So beautiful.
Love it down here.
I love sitting here on the observation deck, under this giant dome of glass, as fish go sailing by.
It's amazing.
Captain DeMarcus, can you give us the details of our trip again?
Martha, we're headed to a unique part of the world's oceans, the North Sea, to document the amazing creatures living there.
How long will it take to get there?
It's just under 4,000 miles. At 70 knots, that'll take about 2.5 days.
We're investigating a shipwreck?
Yes, a friend of mine was recently investigating the ship SS Palatia. He said it was teeming with all kinds of creatures. I thought it might be a great place to document some unique marine life.
So, Mr. DeMarcus, how far below the surface is the wreckage?
About 100 meters.
That's 328 feet. Alexander, that would be a challenge for even a professional diver. Recreational divers only go about 130 feet at most.
All great and honorable actions are accompanied with great difficulties and must be both enterprised and overcome with answerable courages. That was written by William Bradford during the Pilgrim's time of thanksgiving for God's provision while in a strange new world. Now, as we head to a new world for each of us, like Bradford, we must face our own great difficulties with courage. And to do that, we have special diving suits.
Wait! Did you see out that window? We just passed something that was glowing!
Mr. Bowditch, we just zoomed past an interesting creature. Can we come about and slow?
Yes, sir.
Okay, everybody keep their eyes peeled. I don't see any.
Right there!
Oh, wow, Ryan, you're right.
Hunter, can you collect this specimen with the slurp gun?
We'll get right on it, sir.
See? It's lighting up.
It looks like a jellyfish, but it's really a northern comb jelly. A whole different classification.
Wow!
It looks like a floating, transparent umbrella with white, green, and red Christmas lights down each of the seams.
As we do the publicity on this, we can point out the bioluminescence, the ability to produce its own light. This happens as a result of some amazing chemical reactions and fascinating structures called photonic crystals, made up of tiny hairs called cilia.
Here comes the mechanical arm with the slurp gun. They got it!
I believe as we collect and study these magnificent creatures, we're exercising dominion for God's glory on Earth.
Kirk, in Genesis 1:26 it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth."
So, what exactly does it mean to have dominion?
Well, in the next chapter of Genesis, in verse 15, we read, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it." And Psalm 8:6 also says, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet."
So he was to watch over creation?
Exactly. We're here to be good stewards of the earth, and we have responsibility over the plants, animals, and other resources. And the Lord is well pleased when we explore his creation to learn more about him.
Captain, we've collected the specimen and are currently transferring it to the holding bay.
Thank you. Okay, let's get back underway.
Yes, sir.
For now, feel free to roam the ship as we cruise to our destination. Yes, who's there?
Alexander, may I enter your quarters?
Of course, come on in.
Sir, I was just on the comm with headquarters. The Kim Lab can't recreate Dr. Berger's formula. Without it, we'll not succeed.
That is a problem.
Sir, if I may be so bold, we've these pressing issues back home. I'm just not sure if being out in the North Sea is the best use of our time.
I understand. But Hunter, what we will accomplish on this voyage is also critical to our bigger plan. And I think involving the creation response team like this was a phenomenal idea. Well, we're passing the southern tip of Norway. We'll soon be entering the North Sea. Hopefully, the last couple of days have passed quickly.
Captain DeMarcus, I still have a hard time imagining a submarine with a music room.
The aim and final end of all music should be none other than the glory of God and the refreshment of the soul. Johann Bach. Jesse, the Manta is more than just a submarine. It's our way of life under the sea.
Hey, Dr. Park, would playing music be considered part of the Dominion mandate?
Well, yes, Kirk. I'd say it is.
So is our ability to communicate, to reason and to be creative, and to have fellowship with the Creator, and so many other things.
When you think about it, man enjoys many special things that make him distinct from animals.
Remember back to our account in Genesis? In chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "And Adam gave names to all the cattle, and to the fowl of the air, and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him." Adam was distinct from the animals. Adam was made in God's image. And when we look around, we see it is true.
Sadly, evolutionary theory says exactly the opposite. Charles Darwin once wrote in his book, The Descent of Man, that there is no fundamental difference between man and the higher animals in their mental faculties.
That's right. Evolutionists believe that man has simply evolved from the animals, and therefore is still an animal.
And that's led to a devaluing of human life.
Well, that's so true. You know, there's a quote etched into my mind. Ingrid Newkirk, the president of PETA, said, "There is no rational basis for saying that a human being has special rights. A rat is a pig, is a dog, is a boy."
Oh my, that is so sad. They would value a rat as much as a boy. Made in God's image?
Michael Fox, the vice president of the Humane Society, said, "The life of an ant and that of my child should be granted equal consideration."
Would he really have a hard time deciding who is more valuable?
I guess when they reject the truth that God created, these are the sad, logical conclusions of their thinking.
And the rest of the world starting to believe it. And that's why Christians need to know what they believe and the consequences of rejecting biblical truth. Or else we will soon be choosing the lives of ants over people.
Creation response team, this is why I ask you to join me and the perspective I hope you'll share with the media.
Well, Captain DeMarcus, you've been a gracious host.
All the way down to this beautiful fruit bouquet. It's delicious.
Speaking of fruit, Katie, pay attention to this orange. Do you know what it contains?
Segments of citrus?
Yes, but that's not all. Jonathan, may I borrow a dollar from your wallet?
Sure. Hope there's one in here.
Now, I need a volunteer to sign it.
I will!
Oh, here you go, Ryan.
Like this?
Perfect. Now, everyone keep your eye on the dollar. As you'll observe, I'm cramming it into my fist, and a few waves with my other hand, and then, voila, it disappears.
Whoa!
Wow!
Yeah!
Wow!
Great!
But we're not done yet. Katie, bring out that orange.
Yes, sir.
With this knife, I'll cut open the orange. Like this. Katie, do you see anything inside?
Wow, yes, I do. Look, it's a dollar bill, and it has Ryan's name on it.
Oh,
that's pretty good.
I've seen that one before.
My dad taught it to me when I was a boy.
Oh, my. What's that?
We're receiving a distress call from a ship up above. Should we surface?
Absolutely. Come on, let's get to the bridge.
Captain on the bridge.
Sir, we're now on the surface, not too far from the southern tip of Norway.
Mayday! Mayday! We have been engaged by hostile vessels.
We've been monitoring communications and we have a visual. It appears to be a Norwegian ship called the Sharon Maru. It's under attack by the Sea Watchdogs.
The Sea Watchdogs?
It's an eco-terrorist group that attacks whaling ships.
What do we do, Captain?
By all means, come to their rescue.
We've got a few tricks of our own, Captain. I suggest we use our own lasers and draw attention to ourselves. Hopefully, we can create enough of a distraction so the ship can break free.
Let's do it.
Yes, sir.
Wow, the Manta's really putting out a light show.
Look, it's working. Their attention is turning to us.
Contact the Sharon Maru and let them know to retreat while they can.
Yes, sir. Sharon Maru, we've received your transmission. Please go ahead.
This is the Sharon Maru. Golf Bravo 0036 Oslo. Who is this? What is your ID?
No ID. Sharon Maru will handle engagement from here. You take it back home.
We are extremely appreciative. Unidentified.
Look forward! You're going to ram us!
Everyone, hang on! Whoa. Guys are playing for keeps.
What do we do, Captain?
Mr. Bowditch, what if we play with them a bit? Let's dive under them and come up on the other side.
Prepare to dive.
Yes, sir.
Make a depth of 75 feet.
75 feet, sir.
Pressure in the boat.
Pressure in the boat.
Well, this ought to surprise them.
40 feet.
They're dealing with a submarine now.
70 feet.
No. What's going on?
We've lost our engines.
What? How?
What now, Captain?
Flood the ballast.
What? Captain, if we do that, we'll sink to the bottom with no propulsion to get back up.
Hunter, we've got two choices. Up and into a battle like a sitting duck, or down to the bottom where we buy time to investigate the problem. Now flood the ballast.
So here we are, stranded on the bottom of the sea.
Think of it. On the surface, there is hunger and fear. Men still exercise unjust laws. They fight and tear one another to pieces. A mere few feet beneath the waves, their reign ceases. Their evil drowns. Here on the ocean floor is the only independence. Here I am free. Imagine what would happen if they controlled machines, such as this submarine boat. Far better that they think this is a monster and hunt me with harpoons.
Quite an appropriate quote from Captain Nemo in 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea.
Any ideas on why we lost propulsion?
Yes. Alexander, look here at this readout.
A very high level of EMF.
EMF?
Electromagnetic field.
Is it coming from the Manta?
No, sir.
Then from what?
That's the question.
Aha. Here's the answer.
A map of the North Sea?
Yes, but look here.
Norned? What's that?
The Norned cable. It's a high-voltage power line stretching across the seafloor from Norway to the Netherlands. And by my calculations, we're sitting right on top of it.
Well, Hunter, I guess that solves the ongoing argument we've had over extravehicular EMF and its effects on the Manta.
Unfortunate way to find out. But you win the debate, Captain.
So we're stuck here?
Unless we call Norway and have them cut their electrical power to the Netherlands for about half an hour.
At least the Sharon Maru got away.
Dad, why are the Sea Watchdogs so angry at the whalers?
Well, I'm not as familiar with them as I am with the Sea Shepherds who've sunk and harassed several whaling ships, causing the end of people's livelihoods. But think about what we were discussing in the music room earlier. If one is truly consistent in their evolutionary worldview, then humans are nothing more than animals.
From that perspective, you can see why they'd fight so hard to save these whales. And they believe it's just as bad as killing a human.
Right. But feelings must be set aside. What's the truth? Although whales are magnificent creatures, are they made in the image of God?
No. But does that mean it's just okay to slaughter hundreds of them for no reason?
Of course not. Remember, God asked us to be good stewards. As a matter of fact, in Proverbs 12:10 it says, "A righteous man regardeth the life of his beast, but the tender mercies of the wicked are cruel."
So I'm confused. Is it okay for Christians to kill whales?
I think what Dad is trying to say is that meaningless killing to be cruel isn't okay. But we need to be good stewards and use animals responsibly for man's good and for the advancement of God's kingdom.
Remember in Psalm 8, 6-8, the dominion mandate? And this time specifically in reference to sea creatures. Speaking of man, it says, "Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas."
Kirk, for thousands of years, man has been whaling. Some have gone as far as to say that the Industrial Revolution wouldn't have been possible without the oil from the whales. And even today, Japan and Norway still whale to provide food for people. Have there been abuses? Absolutely. So that's why it's important to hold fast to a biblical worldview and be wise with what the Lord's given us, and not to be wasteful and unnecessarily cruel.
Agreed. So, back to the problem at hand. Have we any solutions?
Wait, we do still have propulsion. The pilot fish.
Yes, our mini-sub. Brilliant.
We simply tether it to the Manta. At full power, it won't be much, but there's a possibility it could slowly drag us far enough from the power line so the Manta would be operational.
Let's make it happen.
Come in.
Hello, Eddie.
How are things going?
Great. I just got an email from our team. I guess they were stuck at the bottom of the sea, but somehow they used a mini-sub to pull the Manta to safety.
Oh, so they're all right and back on schedule?
I guess so.
Oh, that's great.
Well, it's nice to be underway again. Imagine being able to sit here on a bench in a garden while skimming along the bottom of the North Sea.
And it's so peaceful in here. I love how they have the bird sounds playing through speakers. It makes it seem like a real garden.
This is a hydroponic garden, Jonathan.
What's that sound?
Oh, look right there.
Why are those tomato plants on rotating racks?
By rotating them, they're distributing these plant growth substances, making it grow faster.
Oh, hello, gentlemen.
Hello, Mr. Shellhammer.
Just doing my routine security check. Carry on.
Yes, sir.
Dad, I went back to Kirk and gave him your possible answers to the starlight issue. He kind of threw it back in my face and asked how I could be so sure of my faith if I couldn't find absolute answers.
This is really bothering you, isn't it?
Yes. I guess I'm a little surprised, Dad. As far back as I can remember, you've always had a solid answer for me.
Well, Jonathan, think about this. As you know, our faith is rooted in the Scriptures. We start with God's Word as an absolute truth, and then when we investigate the world around us, we see that the evidence, when interpreted correctly, is in harmony. But there will always be things we can't explain fully.
What exactly do you mean?
Ephesians 2:8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Jonathan, do you hear what this passage is saying? We come to him by faith, not by having all the answers. If it were up to our intelligence, we'd all fail.
Dad, I understand it's by faith, but if it's true, shouldn't all the evidence line up?
Well, yes, and it does. The problem is, we're flawed humans. We don't know everything, or know how to interpret the evidence correctly. This is why we must submit ourselves to God and His ways, even when we do not fully understand.
Thanks, Dad. That's helpful.
You're welcome, son. Okay, we've had a long day, and I want you to help me get the rest of the team turned into their quarters so we can get some sleep for tomorrow.
Miles Morgan. Derek Dills. It's nice to finally meet you face to face.
The pleasure is all mine.
Please, make yourself comfortable.
I'm so sorry, Mr. Oh, hey, it's my son.
This is exactly why you're so valuable to me.
Hello, Kirk?
Hey, Dad.
So, what's new?
I can't talk long. All I know is we're headed out to discover more sea life around a wreck in the North Sea.
There's gotta be something more to it, Kirk.
I'm not sure. We're also testing out special dive suits.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
Someone's coming. I gotta go.
Kirk?
Miles, I want more info on that.
And have it you will. I'll get you the inside scoop.
A son so desperately trying to connect with his estranged dad that he'll do anything for him. There's not many men like you who would...
Put his son in danger for money? Look, I'm not proud of what I'm doing, but...
I was going to say many men who would trust their son to deliver in such a delicate position. You've done a great job training him. Oh, excuse me. I need to take this.
Yeah, hello. Sure. Be nominated for Father of the Year.
Well, good afternoon, team. The morning sped by, hasn't it?
We'll be ready to start our expedition to the shipwreck in just a few more hours.
Where are Jesse and Katie?
Oh, they're in the kitchen. They're getting lunch ready.
I've been thinking more about those sea shepherds and whales. I guess it's just sad to think of people eating whales.
Well, I understand, Kirk. You know, in the beginning, there wasn't sin, death, or suffering. But then, man rebelled against God. And since that time, pain, death, and suffering have become part of our world.
And the Bible says that in this fallen world, we've been given animals for food. In Genesis 9:3, after the great flood, God says to Noah, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you, even as the green herb have I given you all things."
And those who want to protect the whales are the same people who will not fight to protect a human baby.
I remember another radical quote by Ingrid Newkirk of PETA. 6 million people died in concentration camps, but 6 billion broiler chickens will die this year in slaughterhouses. From her evolutionary perspective, the death of 6 million people is nothing compared to the sin of eating chicken.
Isn't it so sad that some of the lives of people and their families would be put on equal value as chickens?
I think the problem's accurately described in Romans 1:25 about those who reject the Creator, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen.
So again, it becomes obvious that we either follow our feelings or the truth of God's Word. The two worldviews have drastically different implications and have a huge impact on our world. So we must submit ourselves to the Scriptures and stand for truth.
That's why we look forward to the day when Christ will banish all death, pain, and suffering.
Oh, that's
amen.
For sure.
Hey, it sure was neat to see Alexander's magic trick, eh?
Do the rest of you ever get that sleight-of-hand feeling about Alexander himself?
Yes, I do. Why'd he pick such a deep site? How are we going to safely dive to 328 feet?
Maybe because he believes that there are some neat sea creatures to discover at that depth.
Does it seem a little odd to go to all this trouble for just that?
I notice he keeps referring to our dive as an EVA.
What's that, Mrs. Park?
EVA stands for extravehicular activity. It's a term used for a spacewalk.
Yes. Why does he keep using that term for a dive? It just seems like he's up to more than he's telling us. He's standing right behind me, isn't he?
So, you're all wondering if I'm telling you the truth of our mission. Are we not all brothers and sisters in Christ? With that in mind, can we all attempt to share a trust of one another? For now, we'll be at our site very shortly.
Jesse, thanks for helping me with lunch.
Whoops! Oh, clumsy me.
I think there'd be a broom in that closet right there. I'll get it for you.
Wow, it's some kind of high-tech suit. Must be some special diving outfit. Oh, look, a helmet. Wait a minute. Look right here. It's got a NASA patch on its chest. Katie, did you hear that? It's coming from inside those cupboards.
What could possibly be making a water sound in?
Oh, no. Jesse, it's a stream of water, and it's getting bigger.
What's going on now?
Sir, it's a breach in the hull of the ship.
Where? How?
The pilot fish. We might have compromised the integrity of the bulkhead when we were dragged along the seafloor.
Impossible! This sub's built better than any before.
Sir, shall I seal off the watertight door?
Yes, yes, of course. Seal the doors immediately.
What is that?
Well, it's an emergency watertight door. We're trying to keep the rest of the sub from flooding.
Katie, we're in serious trouble. In just a few minutes, the crew's going to be filled to the top!
We've got to let them know that we're in here!
Ah! Help! Anyone? Hello?
Hello?
How
How will Jesse and Katie escape from the flooding room? Will the manta survive? To find out, you'll have to join us next time for part two of Jonathan Parke and the Recesses of the Deep. You've been listening to The Adventures of Jonathan Parke. Although the story is fictitious, many of our adventures are based on real places, historical events, or scientific discoveries. To learn more about Jonathan Parke and evidence for creation, please visit our website at jonathanparke.com. You'll also find additional resources that will help you see and understand how science is in complete agreement with God's Word. That's jonathanparke.com. Make sure to join us next time as the Creation Response Team explores a shipwreck from 1942 in part two of Jonathan Parke and the Recesses of the Deep.
Until next time, this is Dr. Kendall Parke reminding you, this is our Father's world. God created it. We can explore it. So live the adventure.